Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
9 o'clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas State Athletics, Kansas City Chiefs football, Royals baseball. Royals in action at noon today with Josh Vernier's On Deck show starting then.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see if it happens. There's supposed to be a little bit of a window, hopefully wrapping up the rain around noon, a window there for a little bit. So they got to get this game in, Dusty. You
go
and I were talking
to
about it.
Window.
I mean, if they're going to delay this thing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Or the only thing they can do is replay this game on Monday, and nobody wants to do that, right? Seattle doesn't want to come back here and have to play a game on Monday, so they may wait this thing out.
1:10, Vernier's On Deck show here at 12, as the Royals take on the Seattle Mariners for the final time. Magic number you said is 3.
3.
So,
not magic. Elimination, I guess.
Yeah, what are they? Yeah, there's the tragic number.
Tragic,
yeah.
That's the word, yes.
Tragic number, yeah. Not the magic number. But Royals win last night. Carlos Estevez, 40th save, so there's a positive.
That's good. I mean, they got their bullpen
Salvador
there, right?
Salvador Perez hit an absolute piss missile in center field. It was fun, too, watching that, because it's, you know, it's on the TV. It's just we're not 100%, as Mitch Holtz would say, who joins us tomorrow, stay focused, Dusty, in there. But it's on the TV, and Sal hit that home run. It was nice to see. This hair is getting out of control.
I love it. I really do. You just keep it. I love it so much. I'm jealous that you've got that, you know, lettuce on top of your dome right now. Yeah. I wouldn't get a haircut for the rest of time if I were you.
Well,
I absolutely love it. I love that you're showing a little gray, too. You've been working with me for a year now.
It's not a little, man. It's you'd think I was coach of the Chicago Bears. I'm kind of torn. So my barber, shout out to Mike at Courtney Brothers, where I get it in Blue Springs, he hurt his shoulder.
Yeah. That's tough to work that job.
And so he had to get surgery on his shoulder, and he's like, yeah, I'm limited, and I can maybe have a couple at the end of the month of September. So then I was like kind of bored the other day, and we were, you know, hanging out with my friends and their kids, and I'm like, so do you guys have your Halloween costumes yet, right? And they're like, nah, I don't know. And they're this K-pop demon thing that's taken over the world. I don't know what it is. It's luckily your kids are probably old enough
to where they're that. Yeah.
But like all my friends' kids are just obsessed. So it's like all that, or it's Minecraft, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a girl, you're going to somebody from K-pop demons. If you're a boy, you're going for something from Minecraft. And then I was like thinking to myself, like, we should have like an adult Halloween party. And my buddy's like, absolutely. What do you want to do? I was like, my house or yours? I don't care. Let's just have an adult party where it's no kids, whatever. And they're like, well, what would your costume be? And I like looked in the mirror. I was like, I'm either going to go as Bob Ross or I'm going to leave the hair. Because if I pick it, it'll fro out. Like, I have really thick, curly hair. Like, it'll pick it. It is nasty, dude. Like, and then the other one is either the Ace Ventura, where he goes to the institution, where he's got the pink tutu around the hair.
Yeah.
There's a costume for that as well. So that would be, those are the two options. But speaking of Halloween trick or treat, you're going to have to trick some people into a trade next year, and you're going to have to treat yourself to roster expansion here in the Royals organization, because I've got a big name who I want to see the Royals sign in the offseason, but you had some conversations yesterday with some people that are in the know and what they think maybe could happen, because magic number's three. The season's pretty much done. You're not going to be a playoff team. You got to start thinking about how to build for 26. They've done a little bit of that, but there's more to come.
I think the Royals can be the most active team on the trade market this year, because they've got a lot of assets to trade. And I know people are going to get pissed when they hear me say it, but I think Noah Cameron is the guy that is going to be the number one trade candidate for the Royals this offseason. And it makes the most sense, because he's the youngest, he's the most controllable, and you can get the most back in return. If you trade a guy that has no contract left and he's an older guy, like, let's just take Mike Yastrzemski for argument's sake, not that he's a tradable guy or anything like that, but if you, if that's the guy, like, let's trade Mike Yastrzemski and get better. Well, you're not going to get better by trading Mike Yastrzemski, right? You get better by trading good pieces. When the Royals really got good and won the World Series, they traded Zach Greinke, they traded Will Myers, they were willing to part with Sean Manaea to get the guys that they needed to get better as an organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guys who sit on Twitter and pop zits in Michigan for a living will criticize everything that the Royals front office does, because that's what they do. Right. So it doesn't matter what move the Royals make. The people who complain about, like, your clubhouse guy, he complains about everything. He'll complain about this. But Noah Cameron is the guy that you trade.
Frazier been?
You know, right, exactly. Noah Cameron is the guy that you trade this offseason, because he's the most controllable, he is the youngest, and he can bring you the most back in return. And you have a plethora of starting pitchers right now in your organization. They're operating from a great spot. The Royals have all kinds of collateral that they can deal. And the best opportunity they're going to have to get the best possible bat back in return is to deal a guy like Noah Cameron. He's very controllable. He makes no money, and he's damn good. And you have said numerous times they'd probably be top five rookie of the year too. So the haul that you can get back for Noah Cameron, I think, is going to be very big this offseason. And it's going to be, quite frankly, in my opinion, probably too big for the Royals to pass up. And I would look for Noah Cameron being that guy, like Brady Singer was a year ago, deal from a position of strength and get better in your outfield, because you don't have that right now in your system, and you need that legitimate outfield bat.
Yeah, I mean, I get the whole, because, like, the thing is, in, like, the MLB, where it's opposite of the NFL, like, draft picks don't matter, right? Like, they're just, it's just, you're not going to get a lot back for, but when you give up control, like, years of control, that's where a team can be like, oh, we don't have to pay them. We are in necessity of pitching. They need that. They have a bat. Because I know there's a lot of people that would say, you know, well, Kyle Tucker's out there. Going to be really expensive.
And very expensive.
Say the Cubs, who are a playoff team and have been really good because of the addition to him. Plus, I'm sure he loves it there. And if you're the Cubs, you're thinking to yourself, okay, PCA is not going anywhere and Kyle Tucker's not going anywhere. We're going to build our foundation between this.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, how's the Cubs rotation? Like, obviously, you don't have to trade for Kyle Tucker, but if you're going to, but that's the thing. And, like, you know, we talked about this, like, the trust in JJ. Like, this is one of those, you know, Dayton-style moves. Like, when Dayton traded Will Myers, there were people out here in lynch mobs being like, what are you doing? You're trading the future. And then a couple few shorts later, years later, everyone's wearing blue October hoodies and everybody's loving the world, and it's trust in GMDM, right?
Right.
So I don't know if JJ's made that move yet, but he's done other things with Mr. Sherman as well that they have given you enough belief to where, like, I think the trust is 50-50, right? You're, for the last month, your kid has taken out the trash. They've done their chores. They've cleaned their room. They've been on time, all this sort of stuff, but it's been 1 month. It hasn't been, you know, an extended amount of time. You're like, starting to see these kids come around.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see more of it. So this is a move in the offseason where, like, you've got to have that Will Myers move. You got to have that.
Yeah.
If it is Noah Cameron, I think the reason people will say that they don't like this move, or they think, well, like, why would you do that? It's because you know that you have something there. Well, so do the Royals, and so do other teams. And Noah Cameron could finish top five in MVP and Rookie of the Year this year. I think he could. I think the top two will be the guys in the A's, or it'll be what I could see if I could read into the future. Your top three Rookies of the Year this year will be Nick Kurtz will win the award, Roman Anthony will finish second, and Jacob Wilson will finish third. After that, you could say it doesn't matter, But when you're trying to trade a piece like Noah Cameron, who does have control, and you can throw on his resume, he was a top five rookie last year. Nobody knew who he was. He was developed. He looks like he's got it. He's a thrower. He's a pitcher, not a thrower, or whatever they call those sort of things. But again, like, the other thing about that too is, you know, you're still holding on hope that Caglione can be that guy, right? But if he's not, and you need to get that big bat to kind of insure him, I still think he's going to be fine.
I think he's going to be fine too, but I still want a veteran bat out there that can help the kid.
Correct. You know? And that's the thing. It's like, do you go take a flyer on a Mike Trout? I don't think you trade Noah Cameron for Mike Trout, because to me, that's not valuable, which is crazy to think out loud that Trout.
No, it's not. Trout's not enough for Noah Cameron.
Right.
100% not.
But what you need to do is you need to go find that bat that you also have a little bit of control of, right? And that's where the line is very thin. And that's why these GMs that do these sort of things from a small market to a large market or a large market to a small market, they've got to know that, hey, if we're getting rid of this piece, because I can tell you right now, next year, Noah Cameron, if he is in your rotation, will be your fourth starter. Because one will be Riggins, two will be Lugo, three will be Bubich. Mm-hmm. I think that would be your top
three. Four will be Waka.
And then you have Waka still on that deal. He has one more year left, mm-hmm. I believe. And then you have a bunch of guys that you're looking at to be your third or your fourth or your fifth. You have Berger. You have this Colic kid who pitches today.
Yeah, right.
Watch how he pitches. We'll see what happens. Again, small sample size for these guys, but sometimes that's the best sort of sample size you can have in a small market is that small sample size. But Noah Cameron has essentially been here all year.
He's been here all year.
Now, the one move I will say that I want to see JJ make, which will boost up my trust and confidence in him, is locking up Michael Garcia.
Yeah, I would sign him in the off. I'd sign him and Vinny both this offseason.
I think what you do with Michael is you do the same thing you did with Cole Reagans. Before he gets to arbitration, you buy those years of control, but you do it at a cheaper option than you would by waiting. And you look at that infield. I don't know what Michael Massey will be, injury prone as well, but you look at that infield of what it could be for the starting rotate or the starting lineup next year, which would be Garcia at third, Bobby at short, Massey at second, Vinny at first, and then Carter Jensen catches. Salvador Perez is your DH. Cags in right, your new guys in left, and I'm okay bringing Kyle Isbell back to play center.
Oh, Kyle Isbell's been a very unsung hero this year, and I think he's been he just flew under the radar. He's been really a nice, solid baseball player all year long. He's been consistently good. If Noah Cameron does get traded, I will be the first person to stand and give JJ Piccolo a round of applause, because that's the side of the organization growing up and doing the right things and understanding, like, we don't need to hoard every good player because, you know, we're afraid that it may revert to the past. No, we've got confidence in ourselves to know that we've developed a lot of pitching. I mean, this pitching coach, man, this guy's done unbelievable stuff. Ryan Sweeney's been fantastic.
Back in the day when everybody's bitching about Cal Eldred and all that, we couldn't develop pitching. Now we can develop pitching.
Now we've got it. I mean, you got eight guys in your rotation. So
hitting.
Yeah, right. And so that's why you have to go outside the organization and find that guy. And if Noah Cameron gives you the best opportunity to bring the best player back, then by all means, you go and trade him. And I love that opportunity.
He is the sexiest man that works at 96.5
The
Fan.
You.
It is Alex Gold. Alex Gold. He'll join us next for his Golden Locks as we try to get him into this game tonight. I'm going to try to do my best to get him to come to the degenerate dusty side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
That's right. Golden Locks time, baby, here on Thursday. One of my favorite segments of the week because, well, it is, what do they say, minute work? I hear you speak of my language.
I hear you speak of my language, yes.
He just smiled and gave me a piece of his Vegemite sandwich, which you should try that sometime. You'd love
love
it, dude.
Absolutely
Mac and I thought it was great, dude.
Absolutely not. I was here the day you guys were trying them on air, like 6 months ago or whatever it was.
Not a chance. There's some British stuff out there now that they have that's kind of in a can. It's like potted meat or something I was looking at the other day.
You just
like,
said it's potted meat and you think I'm interested in this.
No, I don't think you're interested in that at all. Oh. I was just looking at it online. They were like, this is what British people eat for breakfast or something. It was like this potted, like, I don't know what the hell it was. It was like wrapped in like an intestine. It looked
like film.
Yes, but it was actually the intestine of some animal that they wrapped. Like, it just was nasty. You ever eat menudo? You ever have menudo?
I don't know what that is.
So have you?
I've worked in restaurants for a long time.
So have you had menudo ever?
What is that?
I don't even know what it is.
So menudo is a Hispanic hangover cure. It's a soup, and they only serve it on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, because, you know, weekend hangover. And so they had it, you know, in the weekends when I was living down in Seguin, and they're always like, oh, you got to have the menudo on Saturday. I'm like, I don't think that I do. It's made with tripe. Do you know what tripe is?
I do not.
Pig intestine.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm out. And did you try it?
The hell no!
Okay.
But
it's good. It's like a soup.
Yeah, it's a soup, but they will vouch and say it is the greatest hangover cure of all time, so...
Huh.
But I am not now. Tripe. Once I saw tripe, and
there's certain things. Just the name alone, and I'm out.
Well, tripe. Yeah, it's a bad. But I remember when I was working in the grocery store, and always seeing that in the packaged meat case. And how do I describe it? It looks like a mesh netting. Is a white mesh netting is what tripe look like. And I was like, I could never eat that.
Hmm.
So something you don't want to eat is any action on this game tonight with Buffalo and
Well
Miami.
Done, Dusty. Well done with that.
Are you just staying away? Like
Absolutely. Because look, it's Thursday night football. It's now down to 11.5. The Bills are 11.5 point favorites. It was 12. If it was 12, it would have been the largest spread we've had this season, because last week Baltimore was around 11.5 point favorite as well. So it's a massive number. It's a short week. Everybody thinks Mike McDaniel's probably getting fired if they get embarrassed tonight on national television and watch this game be close. I'm just staying away. I just don't trust this. It's too early in the season. You got a team that we don't know for sure. Are they quitting on Mike McDaniel yet, or are they going to rally around him tonight? Like, I just don't have a good feel of what we're going to see from the Dolphins tonight. So Dusty's been trying to convince me to make a bet on the spread. I said the only bet I have tonight will be a prop bet involving Achane, the running back for the Dolphins. He's been a great receiving option for them. We think about Waddle, who's questionable tonight, by the way. We think about Tyreek Hill, obviously.
He's questionable.
But the over-under is 5.5 receptions for Achane.
He makes the flight or not.
Tonight. And Achane had a team high 10 targets last week. Mm-hmm. He got 8 catches for 92 yards. And then last year in 2 games against the Bills, had 7 catches and then 8 catches. So they use him in the passing game, especially when they play the Bills. So I do like the over 5.5 receptions for Achane.
Yeah, I like his yards a lot. I like Josh Allen's rushing yards.
Yeah, anytime. I mean, yeah. Allen's obviously capable of
29.5.
That seems low, doesn't it?
It does seem low.
Which is,
and I are on this. All right, what's the catch?
What are we missing,
what
guys?
What are we missing?
This is the problem.
Is it the broken nose? And maybe they're not going to have him. I'm being serious, though. I mean, he's got that, you know, that new plexiglass in front of him. It's a night game. It may fog up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be. Admittedly, I did not look.
Buffalo snow, I'm sure.
I think it's supposed to be like 9 Celsius.
Thank you. Thank you. Good poll, Dusty.
Thank you.
Thank
here
you.
All night. But let's talk
God,
about...
it's going to be 9 degrees. It's July. You sure you got the right temperature gauge up there, Alex? Well, it says C.
No, it's supposed to be pretty fair temperature-wise, which kind of could benefit Miami if you think about it in that regard, because they don't play well in the cold. But let's talk about the important...
Hang on real quick. Let me jump in on that game real fast, though. Like with Miami, and you may know this too. You guys are more in the betting world than I am. Do teams tend to play better if they know that their coach's job is on the line? Like, how does that impact the way you view a spread of a game?
So there's no, like, trend or data on, hey, a coach about to get fired, how the team plays. The only data we have is the old, you know, how's the interim coach do the next week kind of stuff. I don't think anybody's tracked. That's interesting. Tracked, like, the vibes, basically. You know, when the vibes aren't good, how is the team play?
Yeah,
I don't know. There's definitely the data on, hey, if they fire Mike McDaniel after tonight, what's the interim coach thing? Sometimes there's a 1 week bump on something like that, but there are offshore odds. I'm sure you guys got the same email I did offshore earlier in the week, where essentially it's a 67% implied chance that McDaniel gets fired between this game tonight and week 4.
Because it's the bye, it's the 10 days. It's the perfect time to fire a guy.
And it's a Thursday. Yes, 72 degrees, light wind, no precipitation tonight in Buffalo. So the game's Sunday. Chiefs are 0-7 in the Meadowlands against the Giants.
Yeah, it's the only team they haven't beat on the road or something like that,
I think. Mahomes is pretty good on Sunday Night Football.
He is, but the crazy trend with this is actually how bad the Giants are in night games, period. So the Chiefs are 5.5.
They lose every one of them.
They do, Bob. The Giants and the Chiefs here, Giants 5.5 point underdog. So it is under 6 right now, which of course is a key number. You're talking about, hey, you win by a touchdown, obviously, or less than even an extra point, then you're good. But the Giants are 2-19.
Eesh.
Not to get to the spread, literally just a win-loss record. 2-19 in night games going back to 2019.
Holy crap.
2-19. They also were 0-3 last year in every single primetime or night game as well. And if you go back even further, since the start of 2017, the Giants are 1-11 in night games at MetLife. Mm. Now, look, they don't win a lot of games anyway. I understand that's some of this, but also they stink in primetime.
Yeah, this is
plain
keep
and
a
simple.
Losing team losing it, type of mentality.
And that's why this
right?
is a must-win yeah. game on Sunday for the Chiefs for yeah. a lot of reasons. But you cannot lose this one. This is a game in which I actually think the Chiefs will be able to win. The 5.5, it's a teaser for me. I would see if you like another game or two, tease the Chiefs down. So you can tease them down 6 points or 5.5, I guess, in this case. And that way you just need them to simply win and then find another game that you like on the spread. That'll probably be a popular play for a lot of people this week. But that's a crazy night game trend. Like, it's so bad. It's not like a middle of the road. I mean, that is as bad as it gets.
Yeah. It's brutal. I mean, and then watch them. And then it looks like why they're 2-19.
How do you guys view Russell Wilson? Because I love the fact that he cooked last week. He's not doing that twice.
Right.
He's not doing that in back-to-back weeks.
And Dallas's defense sucks. So I was listening to WFAN on Monday morning, right, after the show, and I'm listening to Boomer Esiason, and they start their show that day saying, well, the Chiefs defense is a lot better than the Denver,
so
the
they
Dallas
know.
Defense.
So they know.
Like, that was the first thing out of the gate on Monday morning that they were talking about. Like, that was fun. However, they've got a much better defense coming in with the Chiefs than with the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are basically a high school defense right now.
Yeah. The concern for the Chiefs, obviously, I think, is the front from the Giants on their defensive side, right? And how on earth they're protecting Mahomes. And you thought it was hard to run again. You know, Philly, of course, is really good up front, but this is a really, really good front for the Giants. So that'll be tricky. There's another aspect of the game. I would say this has been going, we've talked about this last year. This has been going over the last few seasons now. Since 2023, second half under. So we talk about totals for a game, you know, 45.5 or whatever it may be. But in the second half, the under is 30-13. So 70% of the time in Chiefs games, the games go under in the second half. So we always see the total, but you can bet second half unders. Like, you're like, oh, I don't think there's going to be many points scored in the second half.
I've got to move to Kansas.
And that's something that you can bet, and you would be very profitable. 70% of the time, you've been right if you've been betting that. It's gone under the total by 4 points per game, too. So it's just, this goes back to the offensive conversation with the Chiefs, but usually playing pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. That's been the formula since 2023 for this football team. It all coincides with the conversations we've all had about the offense not looking the same for the last couple of seasons.
So you'd say take the under in this game in the second half.
In the second half, yeah. 70% of the time it's hitting. Like, it's one of those
that's
where,
crazy.
It, again, it doesn't mean it's going to hit on Sunday, but if you play it out enough over the last, I mean, you're going to, that's the key with any of the trends typically. It's like, you can't just play it one time.
Right.
It's you have to stay with it, because otherwise you're not really playing the trend.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So the other thing I would say, guys, with the Chiefs, I'm sure you guys noticed it this week, is where the Chiefs are at divisionally, odd wise, and the total. So if you still have faith that this football team figures it out, that they're still in play for the division, or I don't know what your guys' updated win totals are preseason, Bob. I know you had them going 17-0. I don't know if you're
15-2.
So you adjusted. Yeah, I figured it.
You have to adjust.
I didn't know if you were still going
to
tell me somehow they were going to figure out to.
Well, I think the league is going to rule that the Eagles cheated and it violated that game, and the game played in Brazil really doesn't count because there was too much traffic. So take all, they're undefeated. So I'll go 15-0 the rest of
the way. Dusty, what's your updated total
on the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm just curious because I have something I want to bring up.
I think they go 11-6.
Okay, so if you think that happens, the Chiefs are -115 to have 10 or more wins.
Yeah.
Usually that's a -300 or something. I mean, so if you think they can recover enough to at least just be a 10-win football team, which I think everybody in this room believes that at minimum,
right?
Then that at -115, you haven't been able to get that for years. I mean, honestly, it might be 5 or 6 years at least since this run really started. And then if you think somehow they get to 12, now that is a little more questionable for me. Even I thought they were a 13-win team preseason. I do think they're probably like 11-win team now. There are consequences to starting 0-2.
Sure.
+330 to get to 12. That's also a number you never would have been able to get. And for those that don't bet a lot, again, you're saying you could bet, you know, $10 to win $33, or $100 to win $330 is what that means by being +330. So those are just a couple other ones. And then the AFC West, the Chiefs are +260 to win the West.
Wild, because on DraftKings, we talked about it yesterday, the Chiefs were 9.5. That's their win total, -110.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So 10 wins, you think about it, you got to think you're going to go, you would hope you think you could beat Chargers here in Kansas City.
You think you could beat the Raiders twice? I mean, after what we see with
the offense. At least split.
There's two. Jacksonville, Giants, there's four. You mean you can't find six more wins in 12 more games? I mean, like, that, you go 500, you hit your total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially if you believe that, hey, we just haven't seen Brown, Worthy, and Rice on the field, and that the offense, I'm not saying they're going to be the top five offense, but they're not going to be this bad if all three of those guys are on the field. There's just no way that happens.
Right.
So, yeah, I think there's some value still on the Chiefs, I guess, is what I'm getting at for the rest of the season.
So there's a few sprinkled in throughout Sunday. It's not the greatest Sunday slate, but Red Zone will take that away from us and make it great because of what we get to watch. Big one with Philadelphia and the Rams. Obviously, that's a huge game. But Detroit-Baltimore, right? Like, I don't know who's who in this game because Detroit put up 50 points, but I don't know if that was to, like, middle finger Ben Johnson. Obviously, Jameis Williams comes alive for two catches, 108 and two touchdowns, or one touchdown out of nowhere. They put up 50. Baltimore's put up 40. Baltimore just blew out Cleveland last week. Who knows? Detroit got beat by Green Bay, maybe the best team in the NFL as of right now in 2 weeks. How do you, like, where do you go on action this game? Do you smash the over in this game?
Yes, I wouldn't bet any different than you normally would. Yeah. It's still early in the season, but I would say, like, the Ravens have been favorites in 21 straight games now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's the longest stretch of any team right now.
Were the Chiefs ever favored that many in a row?
I don't know if it was 21 straight, but they got up there 2 years ago or whatever that was. Yeah. Obviously, last year there was a couple games they weren't favorites in, and obviously we know how this season's going. So, yeah, that's the longest streak. This goes back to week one of last season for Baltimore. I think the Lions showed me, though, that, like, the worry about, like, the offense just completely falling apart. I think we learned that. No, Green Bay's defense is pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of, at least that's how I took it.
Or Green Bay's just really good in general. Like, there's
all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Lions in this offense will be just fine.
19? Is that what that final score was? Green Bay, Detroit?
I don't remember the final. Okay. I don't remember the final. I know they were really sluggish early.
Irrelevant, but yeah.
Detroit's a 5.5-point underdog, though, at Baltimore, sorry. I would take Detroit plus 5.5.
That's a field goal winner game.
Yeah, I think they're going to be able to put up enough points where they can hang with
Baltimore. Is this a Super Bowl preview?
No, it better not be. I have Green Bay in the Super Bowl before the season started. I obviously feel pretty good about that right now.
The Chiefs?
I did have that.
Super Bowl one rematch. I like it.
That's not what I. I know that's been a popular one. I did not have that last year, Dusty. I had Chiefs-Niners.
Chiefs-Niners.
Which that one?
Whoops.
Yeah. You swung and missed on one of those. Whoops. But that's
like right. You knew everybody was going to get hurt.
Yeah. No. So nice. I do think Detroit getting 5.5 points. Yes, it's a road game. Lamar Jackson's very good on Monday Night Football. There's some numbers that back that up. I just think the offense of Detroit showed us that we're still pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So I like that opportunity there. And then last thing would just be Coach of the Year market, guys. Last week we talked about Rookie of the Year and Egbuka and how he's a play, and he once again thought was pretty good. Coach of the Year, you know, a lot of the coaches you can eliminate because of expectations. It's just the nature of the award. There's three names that I think are interesting right now. One is the favorite, Shane Steichen in Indy, out of nowhere, 2-0. We all know the story there.
Could be a totally different conversation at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Absolutely. So he's plus 650. I think we do know if the Colts win the division, he's the Coach of the Year, right? It's over. But I don't think that ends up happening when the dust settles. So Jim Harbaugh or Sean Payton are interesting. If you believe the Chiefs won't win the division. So if you're someone that still thinks the Chiefs won the division, then don't waste your time. But if Jim Harbaugh wins the division, to me, if you're the first coach to end, you know, the streak in 9 years, to win the division in 9 years, other than Andy Reid, I think that's Coach of the Year. So I like Harbaugh at 10-1. If you're playing in that market, just to have a ticket on him, and if the Chiefs do not end up recovering here and coming back and winning the division, because I think that will weigh heavily for voters. They'll say, hey, you knocked off the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I think that'll bode well, especially if Steichen and the Colts don't get there. I think Jim Harbaugh is in play for Coach of the Year at 10-1.
And don't forget, Kevin Stefanski is in the conversation as well for Coach of the Year.
Always, Bob.
But what if, let's just say the Chiefs do win 15 straight.
Okay.
Is Andy Reid in conversation for Coach of the Year, or is it still, it's just what Andy does, and he doesn't get the credit for that, you know?
I think he should be, but that won't happen.
No, it won't.
Yeah, that's just, we've gone over this. I mean, the guys that have no chance to win this award other than having a perfect record are the Andy Reids, the Nick Sirianni's, John Harbaugh, even Sean McDermott. Like, and McDermott might win 14 or 15 this year because that schedule is so soft up in Buffalo. Like,
yeah, it
just, you have to exceed expectations or be a first-year head coach. Or that's why I think 3 weeks ago, we were talking about Brian Schottenheimer even. I don't know how good the Cowboys will be, but if somehow they won 10 games, he would be have a strong, strong case because nobody expected anything.
But they're worse from where they were a year ago.
I understand.
Though,
but it's all narrative and, yeah, and expectation and how we view these coaches going in.
Because for me, when I look at these coach of the year things, I look at it completely different, man. I don't look at it what loser went 9-8. I really don't. And because most of these guys that win coach of the year are total losers and they never show back up after year three, right? Look at all these guys.
Well, they usually get fired.
They all
year,
suck.
So.
They're all losers. And so we've got guys that are consistently good, but we don't give credit to them, like the Andy Reids of the world and whatnot. And I'm even looking on the baseball side of things. Like, I could make a case if I had to. Mac Quatrero's manager of the year. If this team finishes above 500 with every starter on the disabled list this year, you had no offense of which to speak, and you still found a way to cobble this thing together and finish. That's a hell of a manager job, right? That's a manager of the year job. It's not going out there and taking a team that's playing a last place schedule that played Spiro Didi's games at noon and going 9-8 and giving that guy coach of the year honors. I think we look at coach of the year, manager of the year completely wrong.
I do think the award is broken, but obviously from a betting conversation, yeah. I'm just trying to say, like, don't waste, you're wasting your money if you're putting on Andy Reid or somebody like that to win. That's sure. All. I agree with you. I think the award is definitely a mess, and that we could say that. I think the MVP award is broken in the NFL as well. I mean, we need to separate that out a little bit. And we have the offensive player of the year, which usually goes to the best non-quarterback. Mm-hmm. The MVP, I mean, it should be called like the Tom Brady award or something like that. And it's just the MVP should, like, we just recognize that is the quarterback of the year award.
They
is basically
the quarterback of the year award, right?
But that's what it should officially be at this point. There's a lot of the awards that are, heck, we could have a whole conversation about the AL MVP this year. Mm-hmm. How the hell is Cal Raleigh not going to win this thing? There's a chance Aaron Judge still does.
I know, and he sat out a month.
Yeah, and he's had a great year too. Nobody's saying he hasn't, but like, how would it not be Cal Raleigh yet? And I don't have the odds in front of me, but I believe Aaron Judge was still the favorite when I checked a few days ago.
Yeah. So I'll give you time to put these odds in front of you for MVP, because Coach of the Year, I think you could still take a flyer on Liam Cohen.
Yeah, he was 10-1 preseason. He's 14-1 now.
Yeah, I think he's a good flyer. And then MVP-wise, I'm still seeing that there's a little bit of disrespect for Justin Herbert, because I think the other day I saw him, he was like fifth at like minus 2,000.
He might have been right now. He has the same odds as Jordan Love. And I know that's your guy. You asked me about him, and he obviously played very well. So literally that night we talked, he went out and had maybe one of his better performances of the year.
Yeah, and so like I think now is when you got to get the MVP. That's for me. Like, I know you can wait a little bit, but
it,
like,
moves so much, man.
Right.
Like,
but like, they thought everyone is pissed in fantasy because Omarion Hampton was supposed to get the ball 30 times a game. He's not. Jim Harbaugh is letting Justin Herbert absolutely rip it. So to your theory, if they win the West and he wins the AFC and he gets coach of the year, you got to think part of that is going to be because of Justin Herbert playing elite football. And if there's anybody that's wanting to be accepted into the elite room of the hotel of quarterbacks, it's Justin Herbert. A lot of chips on the shoulders in LA. Is it too early to throw that flyer on a guy like Justin Herbert? Because I know, like, Lamar and Josh and all those guys are at the top still.
Yeah, it depends on who you already have a ticket on, I guess, right? Like, if you're trying to just cover your bases a little bit, and, you know, if you have a
like
sprinkle.
Like, I know Mahomes.
Right. Yeah, if you had preseason money on Mahomes to win MVP, I would make sure you have money on somebody else right now. Because just the reality is, it doesn't look good for his odds to come back and do it. Even though we all here in Kansas City are witnessing him, he's obviously been playing actually pretty damn good, and they wouldn't even be in these games if it wasn't for him. But that's not what the MVP award is.
Sure,
like, people expect you to go out and throw for 320 and three touchdowns and not
time.
Be 0-2, or people want you to be the MVP so badly that it's your time, right? Yeah, Herbert. The key though is, you said it. You have to then think he wins a division. The only way you can, that's the starting block. Like, you have to win your division to be an NFL MVP. So if you're putting on Herbert, it means you're also hedging the division a little bit.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you think it really just is a two-man race now for MVP between Josh Allen and Lamar? Because Toe Burrow's out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Patrick, I don't know if he's technically
right
now.
He's 25-1 now.
In the conversation. Right.
Jordan Love's having a conversation.
Jordan. Okay, that's a good one, Dusty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jordan Love could be in that conversation. So is it a three-man race then?
It's way too early to narrow it down, anything like that. I think there's still probably four or five names you could give me that I think
Daniel
are in play.
Jones
it's
just, in
it
just
I mean, changes. Daniel Jones is the MVP.
It changes so quick too, because you said the injury with Burrow, Bob, like that's why it's way too early to make that determination. All of a sudden, Josh Allen misses 6 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever, then he's done. you know, for the MVP conversation.
Well, I don't know. The voters still kind of like, you know.
Well, now that he has one, nobody, you know, now it's funny. He already got his one now, so now everybody wants to move on and find somebody else. But, I think, you know, I still think Baker Mayfield's in play, not just because I had a preseason bet on him, but I still think he's in play. They're 2-0. They could end up being one of the top seeds in the NFC. Obviously, Herbert, we talked about. Lamar's, of course, still alive here. You know?
Yeah, he's good.
Other than that, if you go further down the board, it's tricky for me to make a case for some of these other names like Dak Prescott, Mahomes, you know, Goff, Kyler Murray. I can't really get there with any of those guys at this point. So I guess if you're asking me to narrow it down to names, I think we're down to about six that I would waste my time.
Yeah.
Doesn't Mahomes have a really good case, though, being 0-2?
Well,
when it comes back and wins the division, they win 10 in a row, and he's the MVP without not gonna have receivers.
I don't disagree, but the stat, what's his stats look like? People are too lazy, and they'll just look at the stats and say his numbers are not good enough. But you're right. I mean, if they do what Bob says and they all of a sudden win 14 or 15 games still this year, and all of a sudden when Rice and Worthy and everybody's on the field, he's slinging around, he won't be 25-1 anymore. But I just think people have made up their mind about Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, like 2 weeks in, we've determined the whole season, right?
Yeah, everybody
but that's
knows.
A great question, Mac, because you're right about that. If they roll off 10 in a row and all of a sudden and he's looking great, is he not the most valuable player leaving an 0-2 team back from the wretches of the...
But that's what you're saying is the same issue with the Andy Reid Coach of the Year thing. Like, we all understand it, but that's not how these awards typically go.
Right. BBL stinky.
Don't sleep on Matthew Stafford as well, who could win his
division. I just don't trust him to stay healthy.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. What do you guys got coming up today on Cody? Rain delay?
Well, hopefully not.
You don't say that.
No rain delay, hopefully. We do have Royals baseball at noon, Vern's on deck show. So just a 2-hour show for us today. Damon Hughes will join us. I know you feel terrible for us.
Very sad.
Damon Hughes coming up. We'll discuss this wide receiver room a little bit and what he expects maybe Worthy to look like if he plays, if he had a teammate or if he ever played with a harness. Like, what limitation, if any, exists with catch radius and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get into that up. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thank you. That's Alex Gold, the sexiest man at 96.5, the Fan, giving you his golden locks. He loves Buffalo, 12.5. We'll get into the rest of the show and set you up for tomorrow on a Red Friday here on 96.5, the Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back here on Fesco and Dustin, 96.5 The Fan, as we wrap this up, got a great text. I want to bring it up to you guys.
I love this text.
From the 816. So props to the 816. They said the Rams are going to end up selling the house for Joe Burrow. Watch and see.
I don't hate that.
Love it.
And you made a really good comparison in the break for like a car.
And
I think you nailed it.
Like, you know, you get your car that you like, right? Let's say you got a Range Rover, right? All of a sudden, there's 80,000 miles, 90,000 miles on it, and the check engine light comes on. Well, that's annoying. Okay, that's like a wrist injury. I'll go get it checked out. Should be fine. We'll see. It's, you know, whatever. It's annoying. That gets done. 3 months later, all of a sudden, alternator's out. Golly. Okay, just run a bad luck. And then you go about a year, nothing happens, and all of a sudden, you know, your sway bar's out, or you have some sort of engine malfunction. You're, at one point, you're just like, you know what? Screw this. I don't need a Range Rover. I don't need to take this car. Just give me a Honda Civic or a Honda Accord. That's exactly what I need for my job to get there. I've got everything else I need. I got four runnings. I don't need this, you know, super thing. At some point, would you think that Cincinnati would get to the point where, like, you know, we have really good wide receivers. Let's kind of take the model of what they did in San Francisco. Joe Burrow's injury prone. Yeah, we gave the money. But you know what? We're just kind of done hoping that it's going to stick together and stay healthy for the entire year. We'll trade him to the Rams. The Rams get him. McVay gets him. All of a sudden, it's a whole new story. He's out of the AFC. Just food for thought. I mean, you got to think somebody's calling Cincinnati.
I don't hate that at all. I actually love that idea, quite frankly. And it makes so much sense on so many different levels, too. I mean, that's one of the best kind of conspiracy texts we've received. And I hate to use the term conspiracy kind of on that tinfoil hat, however, but I love that idea because we all know it's ending very fast out there, right, with Matthew Stafford. And so they're looking for the next Sean McVay's the quarterback whisperer. Maybe Joe Burrow can go out there and figure out a way to stay healthy and play for that organization.
The only thing is Stafford sees that offensive line, sits out. He's like, no way, dude.
Well, but you're assuming that they would trade Stafford because Mac suggested that in break, trading Stafford to Cincinnati for Joe Burrow. And you know, and I'm sure they would have to give more back
for
Burrow than just Matthew Stafford. Play Stafford one more year, draft that quarterback. And the Bengals, quite frankly, are the perfect organization to do that because they're cheap. And they're paying other guys, and if they're seeing these other guys, and this guy's getting paid a lot of money to be the quarterback, but can't stay healthy, then you trade him, and you know you go out there and you get somebody else, and you try to see what you got, because you've got the wide receivers locked up, right? Those are your big-time weapons. You don't necessarily need the billion-dollar quarterback when you have billions of dollars invested in the weapons. And so in this salary cap era that we're in and whatnot, and the Bengals notoriously being a cheap organization, that's why I love that text so much, because it just fits and checks every box. You know, it really does. It's a perfect text. Well, I love it.
And past that, guess who has two first-round picks this year?
That's right.
It's the LA Rams.
That's right.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, if you traded your two first-round picks to Cincinnati and Matthew Stafford, you could probably get Joe Burrow back in return. And that wouldn't be a bad trade by the Bengals at all because of the injury situation. You know how frustrating it is to have a wide receiver with an injury. Imagine a quarterback always trying to nurse back from an injury.
Because, you know, you talk about it, like, nobody's untradeable. I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is not untradeable, but, like, when you have injuries that stack up, at some point it's like, hey, it didn't work out for us. I mean, look at Carson Palmer, man.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Raiders and then, gosh, where did he end up? Arizona. And it's like, you know, he was injured, got his ACL in a Pittsburgh game like week one, or maybe it was, I think it was week one, and then misses the whole season, comes back. Then all of a sudden it's like it's a divorce in Cincinnati, goes to, you know, Oakland. That was terrible.
Yeah, it was
and then
bad.
He goes to Arizona and did okay. And Carson Palmer was one of those guys, Heisman Trophy winner, quarterback of your franchise. Here he is. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Look, guys, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Aaron Rodgers, all of these greats have played on other teams. I mean, there's a slight possibility Patrick Mahomes finishes his career somewhere else. I mean, everybody's going, oh, my God, Tom Brady finished his career somewhere else. You know?
And they were 40 when that happened.
Yeah, right, like, exactly.
You know, Peyton went to Denver. That sort of stuff. But it was later on in their career.
Right.
But
this would be a blockbuster, like maybe the biggest blockbuster trade in sports history if Burrow was traded
to the
Rams.
I wonder what Drew's reaction would be. Oh, absolutely not. You don't trade a franchise quarterback. No. Is he?
But I mean, is he though? He is if he's healthy.
Yeah, he is
talent. There's no debating that. But the problem is the guy can't stay healthy. And unfortunately, that becomes the narrative of who you are. I mean, we see it in baseball all the time. Like, let's take Mondy for an example, right? And I know it's a bad comparison, but we thought Mondy was going to be this all-world type of player. Guy could never stay healthy. Maybe didn't have the want to play baseball, likes cough syrup. Whatever the case may be, he never realized that potential. I think there are more guys who don't realize their potential in professional sports than there are guys who do realize their potential in professional sports.
Right.
So Joe Burrow's that guy. Like, when he plays, phenomenal. Problem is he going to play?
Yeah, it's scary. Definitely scary.
Derrick Rose, Penny Hardaway. He's going to be one of those guys.
Who was the first guy you said?
Derrick Rose.
Oh, Derrick Rose. Yeah.
Penny Hardaway, yeah. McGrady, one of those sort of.
Trout. I mean, he's the Mike Trout of.
And Mike Trout stayed in. That's a perfect example to get added to Mike Trout. Mike Trout's been in Anaheim his whole career. What did they accomplish?
Nothing.
But he's great. Mm-hmm. But he's never on the field. And you can't trade him now for anything worth value.
Nope.
So you waited too long. So now you have damaged goods.
Right. That's why you got to get out on these guys when you have the opportunity to do so. That's why we talked about, you know, the potential of trading Noah Cameron this offseason, which looks very plausible and very, you know, possible that he's the guy that's traded. Those are the right moves. Get out on these guys while you still can get a lot of value back in return. The longer you wait, the less return you're going to get on something like that.
I don't think you can do it.
You don't think what?
No, I don't think you should do it.
Trade Burrow?
No, I think it's a bad
idea.
I don't hate the idea, though.
It's a tug of war. It's fun. Like, you can see both sides. It's a fun debate.
Yes.
Obviously. But on our Instagram page, the Fan 965, right?
Mm.
Who is this Kansas City Chiefs great?
Ooh, yeah.
Is the question. Do you
know
it?
I saw this one today, yes.
Did you get it right away?
I think I did.
You think Bob gets it?
Oh, I assume so.
Okay, 14-year career, and he made $41 million.
The other clues will really...
Yeah, once we get going.
Yeah, once we get going. Let's just see there.
14-year career, made $41 million.
Mm-hmm. Chiefs great.
He's a Chiefs great?
Mm-hmm. That's what the text says.
Oh, so it's not a Chiefs great. It was like that Moore, that backup quarterback Moore?
Matt Moore?
Moore?
No. Okay, so I'll give you another one. He started five games.
Todd Collins.
You're getting warm. Undrafted quarterback. Now read the clues again. 14-year career, $41 million. Started five games. Undrafted quarterback.
Yeah, started five games for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Chiefs great.
Rich Gannon?
Close.
That's a good guess.
So 14-year career, made $41 million. Started five games. Undrafted quarterback. Went to Mizzou.
Chase Daniel.
There it is. Yep.
Chiefs great.
Man, Chiefs great.
Speaking of Chiefs great, tomorrow we'll have...
He's an NFL great. He made $41 million, guys.
Still awesome, working. Man. Yeah,
And that dude will say, I had the best NFL career of all time. I didn't do a damn thing and made $41 million. And he played 14 years?
It's crazy.
It's been that long? Oh, my God. Yeah, I guess it has.
Yeah.
About 07, I mean.
And still looks the same. 20.
Yeah, he does.
Somebody said Tyler Thigpen.
Could have been.
Another Chiefs great.
Yeah. Another one, dude.
Chiefs great. He was here for 2 years, if that. I don't even know that he got two.
And he still loves it here. He talks really good things about the Chiefs. He said yesterday, I believe, somewhere misquoted, but he's like, if you really think the Chiefs are done this year, you are an absolute moron of not knowing like what they've done in the past.
It's
like,
true, yeah.
Well, yeah. Ben Maller, shout to him, said they're the best 0-2 team. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Well, we'll talk to you again next Thursday, Ben, when they're 1-2 and they put up 35 and win 35-10. Coming up tomorrow, Mitch Holtis joins the show, right?
Yes, sir.
The voice of the Chiefs here. It's Red Friday. We'll have fun. We've almost made it to the end of the week, boys. But before we do, always remind people to go do something nice for somebody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is just simply cool to care. Stay kind, stay groovy. Coming up next for 2 hours, it's Cody Golden Drew, maybe. And then the Royals at noon with Ferns on Deck Show. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Red Friday, Kansas City.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.